Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. My name is Chris Berry. I will be stepping in for Alan this week. And for today's show, we have a very special guest. And many people understand this disease a little bit, but they don't really understand that this is one of the largest undiagnosed disease that has literally spread and affects over 20 million Americans. And today we have a 28-year veteran and expert in neuropathy to go ahead and share with us more about this disease and why it is so important to pay attention in your life. So without further ado, please welcome Jeff Corsier onto the show. Jeff, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
I'm going great. Excited to talk about some neuropathy and the craziness of what you, I know we've had a couple conversations beforehand of just, to me, it's just mind-boggling the fact of how underdiagnosed this is and everything. So to kind of jump into it, because I know, like I said, we've had our previous conversations, can you just kind of tell people a little bit about your background and kind of what it looks like in the neuropathy space?
For sure. Yeah. So I've been a physical therapist for 28 years, treated a lot of neuropathy as a therapist, but got into it a lot more 7 years ago. I started doing diagnostic ultrasound and EMG. And EMG testing, that is the test to find neuropathy. So there's only one test. There's a lot of redundant tests in this in the medical industry, but there's only one to find neuropathy, and that's the EMG test. So since the 2017, I've been finding a lot more neuropathy, and then in recent years, finding some new ways to treat it that have been really exciting.
Okay. And then just for, I'm sure some people know about it, can you explain kind of what neuropathy is, how it affects people?
Yeah. So neuropathy really just means nerve disease. And so neuropathy composes a lot of different things. That when most people say neuropathy, the most common way I hear it said, they mean polyneuropathy. They mean an older person who has burning, numbness, tingling in their feet. Maybe they're starting to lose their balance. Maybe they're falling down. That is the most colloquial use of the word neuropathy. But neuropathy, really meaning nerve disease, means any nerve disease. So that can mean nerve disease from your back, shooting down a leg, from your neck, shooting down an arm. That can mean carpal tunnel. Everyone knows about carpal tunnel, the wrist, giving you numbness and tingling in your fingers. It can mean cubital tunnel through the elbow or any one of a number of different neurological diseases.
Okay. And why is it so important for people to try to catch it early or to start, like, let's say, for example, get tested? Like, why don't they just leave it if it's not that big of a problem for them now?
Yeah. So when you think about neuropathy, particularly the compressive neuropathy, something is pressing on your nerve and damaging it. So that only gets worse with time. It doesn't just go away typically. It's only going to get worse. So when you catch it early, you know, not to get too technical, but when you're looking at compressing a nerve, the outside of the nerve is the myelin. The inside of the nerve is called the axons. So the first thing you do in a compressive neuropathy, you smash that myelin and you start to damage it. That's when you first maybe start getting those feelings of numbness or tingling or weird little hot and cold sensations. You keep doing that. You get through the myelin coating. You get to the axons themselves. If you damage those axons badly, sometimes there is no going back. You can have permanent nerve damage at that point.
Huh. And when you say permanent nerve damage, like what does that look like? What does that mean?
So it could mean that you never feel a certain area again. You know, that area that was tingling, it can get to where it's numb and it's just permanently numb. You never have sensation there again. If it's affecting a nerve going to a muscle, that muscle can start to shrink, to atrophy, and it can mean that that muscle is permanently weak or maybe permanently kind of paralyzed, you know, much like having a stroke. If you damage that nerve enough, it can become permanent. You'll never get those muscle fibers back if that nerve is innervated.
And obviously a lot more people have been getting it recently. I think you said the figure is like over 20 million Americans, right?
That's right. Over 20 million Americans. Yeah. We've got an aging population. I think most people know that. So a lot more people on Medicare, all those baby boomers, you know, they've now gotten in their 70s, 80s, even now. So much more common to get neuropathy, polyneuropathy, particularly as you age. And it's not getting well diagnosed. It's really not. There's not enough people testing for it. Well, for instance, the average wait time, if you want to get an EMG test, the average wait time is about 100 days, a little over 3 months nationwide.
100 days.
That's a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, you've got nerve damage and you're waiting to find out what it is, and it's progressing, you know, as you wait. It's getting worse.
That's a very long time.
Okay. So more people, and obviously you said that obviously 20 million Americans are now affected. Why, you touched upon the fact of an aging population. Is there anything that people are doing within their lives or stuff that has changed about why it's kind of like growing so fast over the past couple
of years? Good question, for sure. So we also are, we're fatter, we're heavier. So a lot of people eating a lot more refined sugars and starches and living sedentary lifestyles. So as we grow more obese, that makes it hard. Again, with that analogy I was giving of, you know, pressing on the nerve, pressing on that myelin and then getting to the axon. If you imagine that's happening, say, in your feet, but now you weigh 50 pounds more than the average American used to, say, 50 years ago. That much more pressure is being exerted on all those little sensitive nerve endings. So that is a big deal. Being more sedentary can mean more neuropathy. Less circulation to your extremities, to your feet, can mean more neuropathy. The more you drink alcohol, eat sugars, of course, eat diabetes, higher rates of diabetes means more neuropathy.
And what's the correlation? Because that one that you explained before of like more weight, because it sounds like some of this stuff has just been present for a long time. And if people didn't diagnose or say understand what it is, it would eventually just rub until, as you kind of described before, like it would cause permanent damage to that. But now with the fact that there's more weight and then you compound that over time and more sedentary lifestyles and everything like that, it's not doing as much. When it comes to the diabetes side of things, how does that affect it with an obviously we're talking nerves?
So the diabetes side means your blood kind of gets thicker. Your blood's got more glucose in it. It's got more sugar in it. So that's not a big problem around your torso and the biggest vessels in your body. But as you go out in your extremities, your hands, and particularly your feet, that's where it really becomes a big problem, because all those really big vessels are now narrowing down into smaller and smaller and smaller little vessels. So you're dealing with tiny little capillaries that when they get clogged up with too much glucose, they die. They get damaged. So those smallest little nerves are no longer carrying any blood with sugar and oxygen to those nerves. So it's kind of like they're being choked out. You know, I think everyone could relate if you put a tourniquet on something. You know, if you just tied a tourniquet tightly around your leg, eventually your foot would swell. It would go to sleep for sure because you're smashing those nerves. It would turn purple. And then it would just be pale, and pretty soon it would just be dead. Because if you don't get blood there for enough time, you have damage, and then you have permanent damage. And so it's that way with diabetes. You're not getting the blood flow to those tiniest little nerves anymore because those tiniest little vessels have been damaged.
So essentially it's the fact of, you said, the thickening of the blood, everything, and not getting the blood flow to the areas where it needs to as it gets further down on it. For people that are today, obviously, I know you touched upon testing and all of that. Given the fact that you're saying it's 100 days on average to go ahead and get a test, like what solutions are out there? Obviously, I know that like this is what you and your team do, but like what can people do? Let's say someone is living in California or Texas or wherever it is, like what can they do and actually to go ahead and try to make sure that they don't have this irreversible damage?
Yeah. So I'd say one of the biggest ones, maybe the single most important things, is find someone that does this test. So again, the EMG test, the electromyography test, the only test for nerve health. So people might say, hey, I think I have neuropathy. I think I have carpal tunnel disease or whatever. You might have the symptoms. You don't know what damage you have until you have this test. So that test is only performed by neurologists, physiatrists, and PTs that are board certified to do so. So with those PTs, we're talking about, there's about 200 of us out of a quarter of a million PTs. So there's almost
You said 200.
200 out of a quarter of a million PTs in the nation. Wow. So I'm the only one in my state. In Oklahoma, I'm the only PT that can do an EMG. But you've got to find this test. So you can enter a lot of people find us just by entering on a computer, EMG near me, or find EMG near me. Or sometimes they find me by putting in best PT. That will lead them to me, and then they'll see from my site that I do EMGs. But that is one of your biggest first steps. Get educated, know that you need that test, and then find someone near you that does it.
Okay. And I know you touched upon this before, but for anybody who is now just joining us presently, or just kind of to reiterate, what would happen if someone does not get tested or they decide to push us off? Could you just kind of recap like some of the effects that can happen?
Yeah. So I see this all the time, sadly. There's a lot of people that maybe they don't want to know. You know, I've had people, I get patients that they come in and they like, I'm working on their hands and they say they're numb and they're tingly. And they'll say something like, well, at first it was just a little tingle occasionally. You know, I'd wake up in the night and I'd kind of have to shake my hand out because it was so numb. And then it got to be really painful and burning. And they'll say, well, now that's been a few years. Now it's just numb all the time. And I'm starting to notice that my hand looks different. You know, this muscle is, it's kind of sunken in now. And they've waited so long because maybe a fear of doctors or certainly an ignorance of not just knowing what to do, maybe not realizing quite how serious this is. Once you wait to a certain point, if you're seeing your muscles waste away from this and you've had it for years, you are in great, great danger of things never coming back at that point. So I think some people are maybe a little afraid to find out. A lot of people just don't know what they don't know. You know, they don't know this is happening and this is what they should do about it. Sometimes they've kind of been poo-pooed by doctors. I've heard that plenty of times. And not knocking, you know, our wonderful doctors around Oklahoma that I work with all the time. But sometimes they've been told, yeah, that's just carpal tunnel. No big deal. Just try not to use your computer so much or your phone so much. But when those symptoms continue and are progressively getting worse, you're on the verge of causing irreversible damage.
Why do you think the doctors are just, rather than actually understanding the problem, just saying, oh, don't do this? Why do you think that's the case?
I think one reason is what we were just saying about the difficulty of getting a test. I know I work with a lot of area docs that are very encouraged that now I'll tell them, if you need a test urgently, I can do it within 24 hours. Even if it's not urgent, I'll do it within several days to a week for sure if you just send me the patient's name and information. So they're used to there being a large obstacle. They're used to being this obstacle where I refer this patient out, I might not hear anything for 4 months on this patient. It's not a good scenario. So a lot of times they're just, you know, going with what's most manageable, what they can do now, maybe give you some meds, very common and not a bad thing, but it didn't really get to the root causes. So maybe give you Lyrica or Neurontin for your nerve pain. Maybe give you an analgesic, hydrocodone or something like that. Of course, to tell you, you know, hey, don't type so much. Don't use your phone so much. If you're a mechanic or a beautician, you know, try not to use your hands so much. A lot of us realize that with carpal tunnel particularly, it's nice to wear a little brace at night. That can be somewhat helpful. So maybe they'll tell them, hey, wear this brace at night and that'll fix it. Or go to PT. Go to standard PT. But the trouble is your average PT doesn't really know a lot about progressive nerve damage and they can't do the test to know how bad it is. So when you don't know what the damage is, say, again, axonal, versus demyelinating, is the damage to the coating of the nerve or too deep inside the nerve, then you can prescribe the wrong things. There are different exercises and activities and manipulations we want to do based on whether that nerve is damaged internally in the axons or peripherally in the myelin.
And I literally have so many questions. I'll try to think about which one I want to go to first. The first thing that I'm just wondering is obviously we have 20 million Americans that are facing this. It's getting more and more every single year. It's now starting to become, I wouldn't go as far as like a buzz, but like people are actually starting to talk about it now, which is obviously important.
Yeah.
Why don't you think that it has come into the spotlight more? Like given the fact so many Americans are facing this, what do you think has kind of like led that to be? Is it just the fact that it's tough to get testing? But I feel like, fill me in because I can keep explaining.
I think that's a big part of it. I think perhaps the guys that typically do the testing don't educate a whole lot. You know, I think perhaps the average neurologist or physiatrist that does this, they're not out there on public forums, you know, or on Facebook or on anything telling people about it. You know, they're very busy. As I say, they've typically got that, you know, over 3 month wait. They're booked up for a long time. And as we've got a lot more cases, they're only further behind, you know, as there's gotten to be a whole lot more of it, they're only further and further behind. So One thing that is a blessing and a curse is patients are becoming much more aware because of the internet. So they're getting some misinformation from some sources, of course, too. You just go searching. Doctors don't always love that. You just go online and start educating yourself. And, you know, I have one doctor friend in the area that always says, she has a sign up in her office that says, don't think that your 10-minute Google search replaces my medical degree. You know, because people get, you know, information they don't have any context to it. But in any event, it's helpful to at least raise awareness. But there's just not enough good information, which is really leading me to do more things like this, to get out there, get on the socials more, put out information, you know, educating people. That's the only way. We've seen that in a lot of other industries. You know, education is the only way to really improve a lot of maladies.
That is true. And it's even, I don't know if you've seen it, but more recently, ChatGPT came out with a new update. And in some of the updates, it's talking about how your cheese isn't sticking to your pizza enough. So what ChatGPT recommended is take Elmer's glue and put it in between the dough and the cheese to do it, to make it stickier and stuff like that. There's like all these different things. So obviously that's a whole nother realm where like people can do it, but in the same line of space, it's just like, you have people that they're feeling pain in their hands, their feet, wherever it is, as you were describing, it could be anywhere, and they're looking for answers. And so you said there's a lot of misinformation or things that they're maybe diagnosing drugs. To me, that's, in my opinion, one of the biggest things is incentives, right? If people are incentivized to go ahead and give or prescribe drugs or to do this or to do that, it makes it difficult on that. Or even, as you touched upon, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of just strong information understanding it. And I'm not discrediting doctors, but obviously you as an expert, you have such wide depth of it that most of these doctors don't even have, it seems like. They're just not even sure like how to properly diagnose it. And even if they do understand they have to take an EMG test, it's this problem that they can't even get it. It's tough.
It's a good point you're making, is that, and it's no slander on the doctors, but your average primary care doctor does not intimately understand nerve physiology and the EMG test and all those pathologies that they're going to be looking for. And when you don't, it's easy to not want to, again, not want to order that test, you know, not knowing, is this exactly appropriate? Shouldn't we start with something more conservative? You know, and there's a lot of information online, and doctors know this historically too, but the test has been historically very uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's always been painful and unpleasant, you really don't want to do that to your patient unless you have to, unless you know it's right, unless you know it's the right thing. So the average, you know, the average person is going to their family practice doctor, and they're not sufficiently knowledgeable about it to know exactly when it's right to order the test. And there's this bit of a stigma. Hey, it's painful. It's scary. They're not going to like it. What I always hear is, oh, I hear you're going to electrocute me and you're going to stab me with needles, is what patients come in and tell me. And I go, well, no, I'm not going to do either one of those things, but I am going to send very, very small amounts of electric current down a few pathways to test the continuous of those nerves in those areas. And I am going to poke you with a couple little acupuncture needles. Very small, probably a 20th the size of a standard needle, with a little Teflon tip on it to make it slide in and out easy so you don't even bleed. Just a little probe, doesn't take long at all. Not really that painful. Most of my patients have little, if any, complaint. But that is a big misconception. That scares a lot of people out, because the test in decades past was more painful. Our equipment's gotten better. We figured out how to get more comfortable, like I said, more comfortable needles, smaller in diameter, shorter with a Teflon tip. All the electric shocks used to go through needles at one point. We'd have to poke you with a whole bunch of needles and send electricity through those needles. Now that's largely done through little adhesive electrodes. So that makes it more comfortable. Usually the needle part is what I see the most apprehension about. People say, man, I hate needles. I'm so scared of this test. And I say the reality is the needly part is 5 or 10% probably of the average test. It varies depending on what you have. But for the average person, don't worry about the needles. I'm going to do that last, and they won't have to do it a whole lot anyway. It'll be over quickly. I'll walk you through the whole thing. So that's a big hurdle for us to get past, honestly. The general consensus opinion from patients, especially on the internet, but docs to some degree, that this test is just horrible and I hate to put my patients through it. I have people in here every day that I'm doing this test on. I just had one leave 30 minutes ago. No complaints, you know, no, they're not bothered by the tiny little shocks. They're not bothered by the tiny little needle pokes. They're done in an hour or less usually, and they have some invaluable information. Usually they leave here empowered and feeling like, oh my gosh, I finally know what's going on. You know, I finally can do something about it instead of just worry about it and wonder when my hand's going to finally stop working, right? Or when I can't walk anymore because my feet are so numb, I can't even tell where they are on the ground.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. For anybody who is just tuning in, we are talking with neuropathy expert Jeff Corsier. We are going to jump to a quick break and we will be right back to continue the conversation.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practice lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
Hello, everyone. We are back with neuropathy expert Jeff Corsier. We are talking about the underdiagnosed epidemic that many people don't even realize how big it is really affecting people. We have over 20 million Americans that are currently affected by neuropathy, and it's only getting worse and worse. We've been talking about why it is so important to go ahead and get tested and the whole slew of things when it comes to neuropathy. Jumping back to where we just were before we jumped to commercial break, I know you were talking about, you know, people waiting to the point to where they can't walk because there's so much pain in their feet or they can't use their hands and all of that stuff. But then obviously you kind of brought the light at the end of the tunnel of people that are coming to this test, which obviously, as you said, was previously much more painful. And given these recent advances in technology, it's no longer like that. You talked about people feeling empowered, you know, like they actually understand the next steps and everything. So let's say someone does go to an EMG test, whether it be with you at your office or another office, you know, around the country. What are some things, let's just say for you and your team, that you guys do after they've gone through the EMG test to give people that clarity of what are the next steps?
Yeah. So, let me just describe that whole process. So number one, when someone first comes in, we make them comfortable. In the past, historically, at some places, when you've gotten an EMG test, it's very sterile. It's kind of scary and impersonal. So here, with my background being a PT, I'm used to comforting people, you know, for all these years. So that's another thing that steers practitioners away from this test. They don't want to do it because it's new and you have to make people uncomfortable, put them in this uncomfortable situation. And we're used to, you know, massaging and manipulating and making people very comfortable. But that's the first thing we do is put people's minds at ease. Educate them, let them know exactly what's coming. You know, they have all these scary ideas about what it might be, but the reality is not nearly so scary. So put them at ease, tell them what's going to be happening, get a nice thorough history, go through that test, give them all the information immediately. They're usually expecting to wait to get results. You know, with most tests, a technician does it. So you go, so you get an MRI, you get the test. The guy that gave you the test doesn't know the results, you know. He doesn't know how to interpret what he just did. So you wait, which is anxiety provoking as well. So I tell them when they're coming in, hey, you're going to leave today in an hour. You're gonna know what's going on. I'm going to tell you everything, make it very clear. Then I'll send a report to your doctor probably today or certainly within 24 hours. They'll know and we'll get you on the road to recovery. So as soon as I finish that test, I explain everything in some detail to the level they can understand and then tell them what might be appropriate. Now, there's some limitations there. sometimes they really need to go see that doctor first before I can say too much, because it's, you know, it's not my job exactly to diagnose. I tell them what I saw, what nerve damage I saw with that test. If they're a patient that's going to be coming to me, or perhaps is already my patient, then certainly I'll say, hey, we're going to change your plan today. You know, as soon as you go back there to get treatment, now we're going to add this, we're going to take away that, we're going to add these nerve glides, we're going to add use of this new fit direct current system, we're going to wrench you an H wave for home use for this nerve damage, we're going to do a variety of things. We're going to do retrograde massage to get rid of edema in your legs. It's putting more pressure on your nerves. So, you know, we adapt our treatment based on what we just found, which also helps the patient understand everything that's going on. You know, this is what you have. This is what we do about it. And this is your expected, you know, outcome prognosis.
Yeah. And if somebody, obviously we've talked about the importance of getting tested, finding it isn't the easiest, but let's say someone does find it. Is it something that you have to get prescribed by a doctor beforehand? Can you just talk? What does that look like?
Good question. So you do not. No, you do not, at least in this state, need a doctor's order to do that, with the exception of Medicare. So for Medicare, you do need a doctor's order to do an EMG test, and for that matter, to do physical therapy. Most people in the nation are under the false presumption that you need a doctor's order to do physical therapy, which you do not. Medicare is the exception to that. But in general, no, you've got direct access. You can get these tests when and how you want.
Okay. Awesome. So we've talked through the entire process, right, of how it's come to be, the whole journey of neuropathy, why we're getting more and more people. We talked about kind of the symptoms, getting the tests right now, and then obviously kind of making that next step plan. You touched upon, you know, a couple of the things that you guys would do with patients to help them overcome and do that. Let's say I come in today, I get tested. It turns out that I have neuropathy. And I know actually one thing that I remember we talked about way before this was there's different stages of neuropathy to the point to where it is can be reversed, but then permanent damage. Can you touch a little bit more upon that?
Yeah, sure. So let's look at it this way. When you first start feeling a symptom, you or anybody, when the first symptom typically of some kind of neuropathic damage is tingling. So I get some kind of nervy tingling or a sharp kind of nervy pain. That might be the very first symptom. You can have that for a while. You know, you can get that. Maybe at first you get it intermittently as you do something. Say, I only get that when I am cranking a wrench. I'm a mechanic. Mechanics get a lot of carpal tunnel, as do beauticians. Anyone that uses their hands a whole lot. Maybe I'm a mechanic and, man, I just get it occasionally when I'm cranking a wrench. Or if I've been cranking a wrench for hours the same way, my fingers will get tingly and I'll find myself kind of shaking them, trying to lose that sensation. At that stage, there's no nerve damage, likely. We don't know until we do the test. But at sign of first symptoms, you're just irritating the nerve. Maybe you've inflamed it. If you do that long enough, maybe you cause intraneural edema. Maybe you swell that nerve up. And, you know, so it's like jamming a finger and swelling your finger. That's going to hurt. Same for the nerve. If you keep doing some repeated activity that pinches that nerve, first just pain or tingling, then inflammation, and then inflammation that leads to intraneural edema. These are all things you can have before you have any damage at all. And so at that intraneural edema stage, this is getting a little technical, but it's worth saying. Because we're talking about EMG, right? But I have another diagnostic ultrasound, which is really not understood. It's a newer player in the game. It's the future. I'm teaching this at my old university now. I'm going to start teaching it here in office. I teach it to PT students that we have a lot of. They're going to start using diagnostic ultrasound more and more. With diagnostic sound, even if you're not to the point of symptoms, you just purely have symptoms, you have no nerve damage yet, I can track your path toward nerve damage by taking images of your nerve. So I can take an image of a nerve that has no damage yet and show you that perhaps that nerve is twice its normal size. I can see that nerve as it goes through your hand, let's say, and see that it's pinched off right here. I can see the length of this long structure, and it looks like a normal tube all the way through until I get to right here at the carpal tunnel, and it's got a big crimp in it. That's called a notch sign. I can have you move your hand dynamically, and I can watch that nerve move. Sometimes I can identify that it has scarring on it. It's keeping the nerve from gliding like it normally should. Mm. All those things typically happen, or at least can happen, before you get to the stage of having actual damage. So these are mechanical factors. Not unlike, we see this a lot with our back, with our spine patients, say backs, necks. Before they have really damaged their discs and have stenosis and have bone spurs and all these problems, something got stuck. Something wasn't mechanically right. You've been rough on your body. Maybe you like to lift weights, or maybe you just have a poor posture. Who knows? But you've got several vertebrae that are stuck. They're mechanically not functioning right. You keep using them and cranking them in this funny way, you're eventually going to cause damage. You're going to cause disc damage. But those early signs are there. If we can find it early, manipulate that, get it out of there, you're back to normal joint mechanics. Problem averted. Same with these nerves. If we find it early enough, or we see a mechanical restriction and we stop you from doing whatever that repeated activity is, maybe it's a poor posture, maybe you need to wear a brace at night, maybe a whole lot of things. If we can get in at that stage, there's no damage at all. We've seen physical manifestations of your problem, and yet we've stopped it before there got to be nerve damage. But having said that, once you get into it, once you've had, say, let's say it's numbness and tingling, that's the most common sign of nerve damage in your fingers or in your feet or toes. When you get that day one, you don't have any damage. But you come to me and tell me you've had that for months, 6 months, a year, more, you've almost certainly got damage at that point. We don't know for sure. You know, you could just be in a symptomatic stage that you stay at because you're chronically inflamed or edematous or whatever. But very likely, you have got damage at that point. So the longer you let that process keep going, obviously, the more likely you're into permanent damage.
Yeah. As you were explaining it, I think of, I'll say especially men, I think they're like, oh, I want to be tough. Like, no, it's not that big a deal. I'll suck it up or anything like that. To make sure I'm kind of putting the dots together. It's not just like, okay, I got to suck it up. It's like, if I don't go get this checked out, I could literally be getting to the point to where I'm thinking I'm just sore or something like that, or it's a little weird, to the point to where I have permanent irreversible nerve damage.
That's what you're exactly saying, right? Man, and you said it right with the men. We should be making a little plea to men here, because this isn't unique to just this pathology either, right? Men are worse about getting their health care in general. Women are much more likely to seek help, and men are much more likely to rub a little dirt on it, as we say here in Oklahoma. Let's rub some dirt on that. Ignore that. It'll go away. Yeah. But when it's not going away, you know, if you get it for a day or a week and it's going away, well, great. Okay, ignore that. But weeks, months are passing and you still have nerve symptoms, do not ignore that. That's getting to be just dangerous to do. And the men are the worst. And it's a sad thing to have them come in and say, you know, I'm surprised at how bad it is, because they give me one story when I ask them, hey, what's going on today? My hands are just kind of numb. Just got a little numbness in there. No big deal. Okay, let me check you out a little further. And as I check them, everything seems wrong, right? And so I'm asking a little further, really? Just a little numbness? This seems kind of bad. Well, you know, I've had it for a little bit. Then I start doing the test, and I'm finding terrible nerve damage. And I go, Mr. Johnson, really? Like, this is awful. How long have you had this? And I kind of dig it out of them that they've had it for 10 years, you know. They've had serious symptoms for 10 years, and they've had this same kind of progression I was saying before, where it started as an occasional tingle that they just shake off and move on. It got to be more permanent. I've always got this tingle. It got to be where it disturbed them in bed at night. Yeah. Then it got to be where they would feel weak. Maybe they drop things, be kind of clumsy with their hands. From there, it got to be where it's more permanently just numb. And pretty soon they say, you know what? It doesn't even really hurt anymore. It's just not. These are not good things. This is all progressive nerve damage heading toward becoming permanent. And so by the time I see them sometimes, and there's nothing that can be done. They've had it for 10 years plus. They've let it get so bad. They will be permanently kind of crippled in that regard. They'll always drop things, always have numb fingers that can't hold things very well, because it's just going to come back after a certain point.
Yeah. And I know that, as I shared previously, you know, we had a conversation before, you know, this time here, because I was just curious and getting to know everything. And I know you have a test that you do online that's obviously not like an EMG test, but just like a little questionnaire and everything like that. Is that something that even, you know, you'd be comfortable like sharing inside of like the description or like the comments below? So like people, because that's the biggest thing that when you were talking, I shared before of like men, it's like rub a little dirt on it. Come on, quit being a baby, like suck it up versus like it just, I know for me, it was even very, we'll say reassuring of like going through that test and it's like, okay, no, you're actually good. Or, hey, like, let's go get this checked out. So long story short, is that something that you'd be able to share inside of the comments so people could, you know, just start even sending it to like family members or anything like that? Just like, hey, take this quick. Cause it's only what, like a couple minutes or something like that.
Exactly. To do the test or something like that? Yeah. In 2 minutes, you can know if you don't have much risk in two minutes. Yeah. A little neuropathy questionnaire. All you got to do is answer a few questions. I can't remember how many questions I put on there, 8 or 9 or something. It's not much at all. Very quickly, this will tell you if you have a high risk. If you do have a high risk, it prompts you to get an EMG test to get further checked out. If you finish and it says, hey, no, you have a low risk for neuropathy, go about your business. Or maybe there's another cause of the symptoms that you have. You know. So sometimes we'll say, well, whatever you're feeling, come on in, we can figure that out too, but it doesn't look like it's neuropathy. But very important, that's why we put that out there. Yeah, easy way to find out if you're at high risk.
Okay, and that's something that you'd be able to share with us and then we could like drop it in the description or comments after?
Let's see, am I technically savvy enough to share it while I'm doing this? That's the question.
Not right now, I'm saying after the show. We could take the link and drop it. Are you okay with that?
That would be easy.
Need to get the link right now. You're good.
Yeah, okay, I'm 50-something. So you don't want me trying to share something and talk at the same time. I'll probably get injured.
No, you're all good. So we'll go ahead for everybody that's listening and you're like, oh my gosh, like this is massive. I want to go ahead and understand this. We'll include that down in the description comment so you can either take it for yourself or send it to Uncle Joe, who, you know, works with his hands and he complains about his hands bugging him every once in a while. It's like, hey, Uncle Joe, you need to take this test. Like,
yeah, 2 minutes, so, 90 seconds if you're fast. There's nothing lost. Take this test.
True. Well, I know we only have a couple more minutes. And so I have one last question that I do want to ask because we've gone through the entire process from the journey to understanding symptoms to getting tested, what testing looks like, all of this different stuff, and even understanding the possible irreversible damage if you don't handle it soon enough. Now, let's say that I come in, I get tested, I turn out that I do have some, you know, little bit of damage, but it's to the point to where it can be reversed and go back to not having all of this pain. What does that process typically look like? And how can someone like go from where they are now to like actually getting pain-free or whatever it is? Like how long do you typically see with that? Obviously, I know it will vary, but I'm just curious on that back end process.
Yeah. So yeah, there are a lot of details to that. There's a lot that we can do, but I'll tell you the heavy hitters. The general answer to that is there are two new tools we have that are stronger than anything we've had in our arsenal ever in my 28 years. And I think before that, and number one is the New Fit. It's called a newbie. It's the company is New Fit. Garrett Salpeter invented this type of stimulation, this direct current. That's really the strongest direct currents you can get on the market. It's a big $20,000 stimulator, the size of a, you know, like a small cart. That thing is very, very powerful, and it's really revolutionizing things for sure. That is working better than anything I've ever seen in my time. So in brief, that can be used a lot of different ways. But my favorite way, typically, if your complaint is in your hands or your feet, we can make a bath, a warm water bath with Epsom salts, electrify that water. We can send direct current, you know, the big no-no you're never supposed to do so you don't kill yourself. We can add water and electricity together, but it works wonderfully. I mean, people typically feel better that day. I mean, in an hour, they usually feel better. They usually feel less numb, tingly, and pain by the time they leave our office. Now, that's just the first treatment. And then you do that for 4 to 6 weeks, typically, 3 times a week. So 3 times a week, 4 to 6 weeks, a lot of people have total resolution of their symptoms. That depends on the severity, of course. You know, if you come in with severe damage, you're unlikely to get all the way back to perfect. But just about everybody gets better, you know, just a question of how much better, how fast. But almost everybody universally responds to the New Fit. That's a big deal. And then with that, kind of its little brother is the H-Wave. H-Wave is a wonderful stimulant. It's been around for decades, but it's only been available to the public for the last, I don't know what it is, 8 years or something maybe. But H-Wave can be rented and brought home. And you can do the same kind of things at home. You can use the water, or you can just put electrodes on. You can actually go to sleep with this thing. But H-Wave has proven studies showing neoangiogenesis, showing that they can grow new vessels. If you wear that thing for at least an hour a day for 21 consecutive days, it is proven in lab rats that you can grow new capillaries, grow new little vessels. And when you do that, you're going to grow new little axons. You're going to grow new ends of your nerves. So that is a big deal. Those two are the biggest thing. We do multiple other things with that. Balance is an issue. So we'll do balance training. We'll massage. We'll do lymphedema stuff. We'll use bracing, various activity cessation things, nerve gliding. But beyond a doubt, those first two are the biggest ones.
Yeah. That, so essentially, and I know we got to wrap up here in another minute, but essentially, of course, it will vary on people's symptoms. But people could literally get relief, you were saying, like the same day, but then you're talking like lasting, we're talking like 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, lasting relief. Yeah, we've had people that had neuropathy for years that have zero symptoms.
Wow.
For most of them, I don't know, go for years, you're gonna have some symptoms remaining, but we're talking about, you know, when you damage, we don't have time to go too far into this, but when you damage those little nerves that give sensation, you're also damaging typically the nerves that give you balance, called proprioceptors. So a lot of people, they're falling, they're having to use a cane or a walker. They do this for 6 weeks, ditch the walker, ditch the cane, balance is functional again. You know, they can't hardly sleep at night. Even the covers bother their toes. Sleep comfortably at night. They're on all kinds of Celebrex, Lyrica, Neurontin. Get off all the meds. You know, very common. We do those things all the time in here.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I'm laughing. I know we got to wrap up here, but you literally go from 100 days with other people to get an EMG test to you guys come in. Literally, we're talking 24 hours to a couple days, and then literally be healed before they would even have a test. So I'm sure we could continue going on this for a long time talking, but I know we do have to wrap up here. 30 seconds. What are, if somebody's interested, obviously, I know you're going to drop that link. You're going to share that with us, and then we'll drop it in the chat, in the comments, so people could do it and take that. If people just want to get a hold of you and stuff like that, is that the best way to, how can people contact you if they're interested in just learning more about all this?
For sure. So they can definitely just call. They can directly talk to my office and then by me if they need to at 405-478-5333. This is Corsair Clinic where I'm at, and Insight Diagnostics. So they can go to CorsairClinic.com. That's our website. They can ask questions on that. They can contact us via email at CorsairClinic.com. They would contact office at CorsairClinic.com to send us an email. And we're right here at Memorial and Eastern in Edmond, Oklahoma, if they want to come personally.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Jeff, it has been awesome chatting. Thanks for sharing all of the decades of experience in this space. And look forward to helping more people with neuropathy.
Man, I hope so. Thank you, Chris.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Bye, everybody.
Awesome. So everyone, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I know for me, it was just so eye-opening of you hear about, you know, your grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever may be that they're experiencing this pain. Little do they know that they could literally be causing irreversible nerve damage. So if you are interested, please go ahead and check Jeff's information out. Next week, we're going to be having another awesome guest. So please make sure to tune in same time, same place as always. And that concludes our episode for today. Thanks again for tuning in. Be good human beings, and we'll see you guys next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.